Okay, our series is entitled, What Do the Ten Commandments Command? And just to remind everyone, last week we talked about the question of the first Dibra. I also made the point that I really am not comfortable with calling the Ten Commandments the Ten Commandments. The Ten Statements or something like that would be appropriate. And the first one... The dispute about whether, in fact, it ought to count as a commandment or as simply an introduction to the Decalogue, to the Ten Statements. Now, the fourth of the Ten in the standard counts, just to review, we saw last time that there's more than one way of counting Ten, but the fourth statement or paragraph or whatever you want to call it is about Shabbat. I left you on the left-hand side here that busy-looking text. For those of you who can follow Ta'amei HaMikra, it gives me a little bit of a headache looking at a text like this that has two sets of Ta'amei HaMikra, two sets of cancellation signs on it. Depending on the tradition that one follows, using one of them for the public reading of the Torah on Shavuot and also on Parshat Yitro, there are different traditions about this. The first line here. We'll read the whole thing. Zachor ad yom ha-shabbat l'kadosho, shesh yomim tavod v'asita kol melachtecha, v'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat l'Adonai elecha, lo ta'aseh kol melacha, atah v'idcha v'itecha, avdacha v'amalcha v'emtecha, v'gerecha asher v'sherecha, ki shesh yomim asah Adonai et ha-shamayim v'daretz adayam v'kol asher pam, v'yanach v'yom ha-shvi'i, alkein berach Adonai et yom ha-shabbat v'yekadoshehu. Okay, so last week I put up a kind of chart of the different mitzvot that are counted in the count of mitzvot, and in the third verse here, or the third section of the text here, when it says lo ta'aseh kol melacha, that you're not allowed to do any, that's obviously a mitzvah. The first line here is also formulated in the language of a mitzvah, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho. And I just, as I generally do, the English translation that I used here is the translation of the Jewish Publication Society, the new translation of the Jewish Publication Society from the 1980s. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So that's what you find in the Jewish Publication Society tract. But when you think about it, think about the syntax here, the order of clauses here. There are two verbs here, and the nature of the relationship between the two verbs is not all that clear. So I gave you a number of different translations here. The King James translation might actually be the one that stays closest to the Hebrew. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So what is it that precisely we're being told to remember? So remembering the Sabbath day. And we're also being asked, so you see, jump down to the JPS, try to solve this problem. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So the two verbs, the second verb here that's in the form of an infinitive, they turn it into an imperative and they turn it into a regular verb. Remember the Sabbath day and keep the Sabbath day holy. So those like two different things. Everett Fox, who wrote a very interesting, creative, and very literal translation of the Hebrew Bible into English, actually, as you see, stays pretty close to the King James understanding here. Be mindful of the Sabbath day to hallow it, so that they're preserving that infinitive there at the end of the phrase. Get into some other translations, like the New International Version, which is a very common translation used in Protestant circles, not in all Protestant circles, but in some Protestant circles. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So that's like, that's parshanut, that's interpretation. Like, what's the relationship between the two, parts of the sentence? That, like, the ultimate goal is that you should remember Shabbat. And the way you will remember Shabbat is by keeping it holy. Now, you realize that that's like the opposite of what the King James is saying. King James is saying that the ultimate goal is that you should keep it holy. So you better remember it so that you'll be able to keep it holy. So again, the two possibilities. Are you keeping the Sabbath day holy in order that you remember it? Or are you remembering it in order to keep it holy? I just gave you, just to round up the survey here of translations, the Vulgate, the translation into Latin, the old translation that was official for the church for many years. Memento ut diem sabbati sanctificis. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. So again, the idea in this translation is that the important thing is to keep the Sabbath day holy. And it's like, if I say to somebody, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, it's like, say to your kid, remember to clean your room. You're not actually asking the kid to remember anything in particular. It's a way of saying you better clean your room. And so remember to keep the Sabbath day holy is actually just a way of saying you better be sure that you keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't forget that you have to keep the Sabbath day holy. And then again, the emphasis isn't on the remembering; it's on keeping the Sabbath day holy. And just because this is based in Canada, and I thought it'd be nice to put in an old French translation. That's easily available on the web. One of the first Jewish translations. 31. Souviens-toi du jour de repos pour le sanctifier. Remember the Sabbath day in order that you will be able to keep it holy, is the understanding here. So those are all the different ways of understanding the relationship between the two different clauses here in this sentence. These are simply the understanding of the relationship between the clauses in the verse. However, many of you will know that this is not, none of these is the standard way in which halakha understands this verse. I'll go on here to the halakhic understanding of the verse, which you find summarized. This is not just the opinion of Sefer HaChinuch, this compendium of mitzvot from the 13th century, but he just does a very good job of summarizing the approach of the halakha to this verse. So what is the mitzvah that's in Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadsho? Surprisingly, what Sefer HaChinuch says, but this is actually what the halakhic literature before him said, Ledaber Devarim HaShabbat B'Hachnasato V'Chein B'Yitziyato. To recite words when the Sabbath begins and when it ends, words that mention the greatness of the Sabbath, its importance, and how it differs for the good from other days. What linguistic trick is this understanding based on? Well, no, I shouldn't call it a trick. This linguistic understanding, in modern Hebrew, we make a sharp distinction between lizkor, for your grammar fans, in the kal, and lehazkir, which is to mention in the hifil. So we have zachar in the kal, which means to remember, and in the hifil we have lehazkir, which means to mention. It can mean to remind, but it also can, it can mean to mention. It seems that in the Bible, that distinction was not so sharp, and at least in the rabbinic understanding of the Bible, zachor often means lehazkir. And so the mitzvah, what is the mitzvah? It is to recite words when Shabbat begins and when Shabbat ends, and that's zachor et yom ha-shabbat. It's like hazkiru et yom ha-shabbat, one might say in modern Hebrew. Mention Shabbat. And how do you do that? By saying words about how important and how different Shabbat is. As it is written, zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho. In other words, mention its holiness and its prominence. And the rabbis explained that we are to recite those words over wine, zochrehu al hayayin. So, Sefer HaChinuch, following the Talmudic tradition, is saying that zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho is actually a mitzvah to recite Kiddush. And that there's a mitzvah from the Torah to recite Kiddush when Shabbat begins, and it is based on this verse, zachor et yom ha-shabbat lekadsho. So you can see those two verbs together, zachor in the sense not of remembering, but in the sense of mentioning, and lekadsho, that's this concept of saying kiddush, saying a bracha, mekadesh ha-shabbat. And so that's the standard halachic understanding of this verse. So go on here. Mishorshei mitzvah zo. The idea of this mitzvah is through this action of reciting words, we be stimulated to remember the importance of the day, and that we establish in our minds the idea that the world is created, as it says in the continuation of this Dibra, for in 6 days God made heaven and earth. And that is why we were commanded to do this action with wine. Humans are aroused through wine, which nourishes us and makes us happy. This is a Talmudic line about, you know, drinking wine. Wine is so'ed u'mesameach. It's, it nourishes us and it also makes us happy. So you can see here that the ultimate goal is, according to Sefer HaChinuch, the ultimate goal is remembering it, but that isn't what the word zachor means. It's ironic. Nikba mitoch ma'aseh, nitorer mitoch ma'aseh, lizkor gedulat hayom. He's using the word lizkor here in the sense of remembering, but then previously, he used the word zachor in the sense of mentioning. So we mention, we say kiddush because we want to establish in our minds, as Shabbat is beginning, that Shabbat is a very special day. And how do we do that? We do that by reciting various words, and we recite those words over a glass of wine, because that makes the words more significant than other words that we mention. And so that's how we end up having this mitzvah of saying kiddush, and saying that the mitzvah of saying of reciting kiddush is connected to this biblical verse. So this we will return to this understanding of what the mitzvah of zachor et yom ha-shabbat l'kadsho, we'll return to this a number of times in the continuation of this session. But now we will take a look at some other understandings in the history of interpretation of the text, it found in our tradition. So here's what Rashi says. Tenu lev liskor tamid et yom ha-shabbat, she'im nizdamen lecha chefetz yafeh, tehe mazmino le-shabbat. Take care to remember always the Sabbath day, that if, for example, you come across a nice article of food, presumably that's what he's talking about with this chefetz yafeh, during the week, put it aside for the Sabbath. So you're in the supermarket, you're in the bakery, you see something that's really nice, you buy it, and you put it aside for Shabbat. I don't know how well this worked in a society that didn't have refrigeration and didn't have freezers, but in our society, you know, it's really possible to have an approach like this, that you go to the market and you see something that's really attractive. Or, you know, I guess it could be something that's going to require cooking, you know, and you see, oh, I want to buy this product, and then I will cook it on Friday, and I will have it on Shabbat. And so, okay, so now this is a really interesting understanding of what it means to remember, because notice, like, think about it, the difference between what Sefer HaChinuch just said. Sefer HaChinuch was talking about on Shabbat, you do something that constitutes the fulfilling of the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. As Shabbat is beginning, you say various words, and that's how you are fulfilling the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. According to Rashi, this is a mitzvah all week long. You should be thinking about Shabbat all week long. You should have a form of menu planning for Shabbat all week long. And so if you see anything nice in the market, buy it so that you will have it for Shabbat. There is something attractive about this interpretation, but Rashi actually wasn't the first Jew in history to offer this interpretation. And the Talmud tells us the first recorded Jew who offered this interpretation of what you're supposed to do for Shabbat is Shammai. Amru alav, here's what the Gemara says, Amru alav al Shammai hazaken kol yamav haya ochel lichvod Shabbat. It was said concerning Shammai the elder that he ate with Shabbat in mind all the time. All week long, he ate with Shabbat in mind. If he saw an attractive animal, he purchased it and said, ah, this is for Shabbat. I'll cook this animal for Shabbat. If he subsequently found another more attractive animal, he purchased it and he set it aside for Shabbat, and then he ate the first one during the week. So he was always doing menu planning for Shabbat, and whatever was the nicest thing that he'd encountered, he'd set aside in order to be eating it on Shabbat. And that's what Rashi is actually alluding to. Tenu lev liskor tamid et yom ha-shabbat, nizdamen lecha chefetz yafeh, tehe mazmino le-shabbat. The problem with this is, as some of you Talmudists who are listening to this session probably know, this is only one of two interpretations that is offered in the Talmud on that page. And the Talmud goes on to say, "Aval Hillel hazaken mida acheret hayta lo." But Hillel did not behave that way. He behaved differently. The school of Hillel would say, "Baruch Hashem yom yom." God is blessed day by day. That Hillel was not thinking of Shabbat every day. He was thinking about the needs of, on Sunday when he went shopping, he was thinking about the needs of shopping. And then, there'll be time to start thinking about a Shabbat on Thursday or Friday. And so, and this is As I'm sure you all know, when Hillel and Shammai dispute, the halacha follows Hillel. So this is one of the big mysteries of Rashi's commentary, is why does Rashi sometimes offer interpretations like this that are not the halacha? Now, it's possible that one would say that Rashi offered this interpretation because he thought that it was the pshat, that he thought that Zachor et yom hashat lekadesho, because Rashi says that he will offer pshat interpretations. So that could be a way of dealing with it, but as we will see in the continuation, that seems unlikely also. So Ramban, in his Torah commentary, quotes what Rashi says, and he writes, this explanation comes from a Braita in the Mechilta, but it's a minority view, and it isn't halacha. For in the Talmud, they wrote, Hillel Azakein Mida Acheret Haitabo. So I can't figure out why Rashi is bringing this interpretation. Okay, so we'll get back to Ramban's commentary soon, but before we read more of Ramban's commentary, this is Ramban's criticism of Rashi. We'll get back to that. So let's see what Ibn Ezra wrote in the first commentary that he wrote. He wrote two commentaries on the book of Exodus, and the here's his interpretation of this verse in the first shorter commentary that he wrote. The meaning of remembering the Sabbath day is that people should remember what day of the week it is so that they won't forget which day is Shabbat, which they have to make holy by refraining from work then, as God did. What our sages said, remember it over wine, is also true as an asmachta. And it applies to any person who isn't a Nazir and isn't a Nazirite. A person who lives in a country where there is no wine has not committed any sin by living in a place where there isn't any wine. It's not like the Torah said you have to have wine on Friday night. So, okay, so Ibn Ezra suggests, and we will see, many people follow Ibn Ezra's suggestion here that the meaning of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadesho really is, you should keep in mind what day of the week it is. And it makes a lot of sense. And in fact, there are various people who say that the fact that this morning at the end of Shacharit, we said Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat, today is the fifth day of the week, is this fulfillment of the mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadesho. You have to remember Shabbat, and it's a mitzvah not on Shabbat itself, the mitzvah of Kiddush, but it's a mitzvah of keeping straight in your mind which day of the week is Shabbat. But then he knows about the Talmudic tradition that this means make kiddush. Divrei Kadmonenu Yizkor L'Yayin Gam Hu Nachon. It's true. I'm not arguing with the rabbis, but that's not what the text means. It's a nasmachta. It's that the rabbis artificially attached the idea of making kiddush to this biblical verse, and this biblical verse is not talking about it. And it's a good idea as long as you happen to be somebody who drinks wine. If you're a Nazirite, then what do you need? You don't want to have the wine. And if you live in a country that doesn't have any wine, and it's possible that Ibn Ezra lived in various countries where wine was at a premium, because in Muslim countries, it was not all that easy to have you have to have grapes growing, and grapes do not grow in every country of the world. And so it's hard to say that Zochrei Valayayin is the meaning of these words, although he knows, presumably he knows that that's what it says in the Talmud. Okay, so just to review, Rashi said, have Shabbat in mind all the time and be buying lichvod Shabbat all the time, be buying things and keeping them for Shabbat. And Ramban said, why is he saying that? And then when that's not halacha. And then Ibn Ezra says, okay, here's, you want to know what the pshat is? Here's what the pshat is. And so now we go back to Ramban's survey of the history before him. Al derech hapshat amru shehi mitzvah shenizkor tamid b'chol yom et ha-shabbat shelo nishkachehu v'lo yitchalech laru b'sharei yamim. Ramban says, you know, Ibn Ezra hit the nail on the head. Ibn Ezra said, he explained what this verse means. And he said that it means that all week long, you should remember which day of the week it is. There's interesting Talmudic texts about what do you do if you've forgotten what day of the week it is. You're off and then walking through the desert and you lose track of what day of the week it is. So what do you do about Shabbat? There's a mitzvah. And Ibn Ezra is saying that there's a mitzvah to keep Shabbat in mind so that you won't forget it. So Ramban is essentially arguing here that what Rashi said, you know, he says this in his discussion of Rashi. So the first thing he said is, what Rashi said isn't the halakha, and now he says, and it isn't the pshat either. So this is a problem that Rashi scholars have, and that all of us who are interested in Rashi's commentary, it is a challenge of figuring out. Rashi had, you know, a whole array of things that were written before his days about Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho that he could have chosen, and he chose the opinion of Shammai, which isn't halacha, and Ramban says, not only is it not halacha, it's also not pshat. So, you know, why is Rashi writing this? Every once in a while, Ramban just like throws up his hands in frustration at trying to figure out what Rashi's method is. And scholars are still trying to figure this out today. When a student of mine who went on to finish a PhD, she did her BA and her MA with me, and then she went on to do her PhD in New York, and she wrote about Rashi, and her doctoral dissertation is about Rashi's Midrashic anthology. That's what she argues in her dissertation, that Rashi wrote an anthology of Midrashim, and she tries to offer, her name is Dr. Yedida Eisenstadt. I highly recommend her scholarship. She tries to find what criteria Rashi is using when he is. So what was it about that Midrash that caused Rashi to quote that Midrash? But Ramban, you know, it's just frustrated by this. Here's another comment of Ramban on a different verse of Rashi. I like his language here. You don't have to get into the details here. It's after the flood. It says, "Ach basar b'nasho damo lo tochelu," and Ramban says, "Here's what Rashi said," and then he says, "Vize kafi hapshat enenu nachon ulafi hamidrash enenu emet." He's writing something here that isn't pshat. And from a halachic perspective, this isn't halacha either. This is a midrash here that he found in the midrash, but we don't follow that midrash. So why is Rashi? Okay, so this is not a series of lectures trying to solve the riddle of what Rashi was doing in his commentary on the Torah, but I'm just mentioning that in looking at the interpretation of this verse, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, this is one of the big problems of trying to figure out why did Rashi go in the direction that he went. Okay, and then we go back to Ramban, who offers other understandings of the verse. And he finds another Midrash, and he argues that that too could be considered the pshat understanding of the verse, and I think Ramban might be on to something. Another explanation offered in the Mechilta is Rabbi Yitzchak Tat Don't count days the way other people do. Count with reference to Shabbat. So Zachorat Yom HaShabbat, so Ibn Ezra told us that means keep in mind at all times what day of the week it is and when Shabbat is. And Ramban says, Ramban can be seen as like just adding to that. And one of the ways that we do that is by saying Hayom Yom Chamishi B'Shabbat, referring to the days by the distance from Shabbat. And then he points out, quite correctly, Gentiles have names for each day. They call each day by a separate name, either by a name of one of the heavenly ministers, one of the heavenly bodies, one of the planets, or one of the gods, as the Christians do, or by other names. But Israel counts all days with reference to Shabbat. One day after Shabbat, 2 days after Shabbat. This is because of the commandment to remember Shabbat. This is how we can like fulfill what Ibn Ezra said as the jot of this commandment of remembering when Shabbat is. And how do we do that? By not using days like Thursday and not using days like names like Wednesday when we call the but I'm sure many of you know that in the time of the first temple, it seems that the months did not really have names that were used. There was the first month, the second month, the third month, and there was also the first day of the week, the second day of the week, the third day of the week. And then we started using names for months. The Talmud says that it was after the Babylonian exile that we started using names like Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev for the months. But we never started using, in Hebrew, we never started using names for the days of the week. And why is that? Ramban says this is because of the commandment to remember Shabbat every day of the week. This is the pshat, and so did Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra interpret it. He gives a compliment to Abraham Ibn Ezra, who figured out what the pshat is, and Ramban has expanded on it a little bit. However, Ramban is not going to only have positive things to say about Ibn Ezra. He very often has positive comments about him, and sometimes he has negative comments about him. And he goes on here and says, Aval l'rabotenu bo midrash mimilat l'kadsho, sh'nekadshehu bezikaron, tziva sh'nizkor et ha-shabbat bekodshenu oto, v'chach amru b'mechilta l'kadsho kadshehu bivracha. However, our rabbis have yet another midrash on the word l'kadsho, that we are supposed to sanctify it by uttering words, by saying words. And so the rabbi said in the Mechilta, l'kadsho, sanctify it by reciting a blessing. This is the Kiddush of the Shabbat day, which is incumbent upon us by law of the Torah and is not a mere asmachta. Here he's attacking Ibn Ezra, who said, it's just an asmachta, it's not in the text. See, Ramban believes, strongly believes, as most people in Jewish tradition did, in a multivalent text. He believed that the text is saying something on the pshat level, and it is also saying something on the midrashic level. And so saying that this is a midrash doesn't mean that it isn't in the Torah. It means that it isn't the pshat, but it is in the Torah. The Torah should be interpreted in two different ways, in the pshat way and the midrash way. And so when Ibn Ezra says that it's an asmachta, he is wrong. And he brings proof from the Talmud. The Chachamru, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom Devar Torah. The rabbi said the women are obligated in Kiddush Devar Torah by law of the Torah, meaning that they think that it's the Oraita, they think that it's from the Torah, and an Asmachta is something that isn't from the Torah. The term Asmachta is used in the Talmud for something that is of rabbinic origin, but that has been artificially connected to a biblical verse. And that seems to be what Ibn Ezra is arguing here. And Ramban says, no, you can't say something like that about Kiddush. Kiddush has to be seen as being from the law of the Torah. In this very long commentary that Ramban wrote on the Decalogue, he attacks Ibn Ezra on a number of different grounds. You see, he's not anti-Ibn Ezra. He very often says some very positive things, and he says that Ibn Ezra hit the nail on the head with the pshat here. But in the same commentary on the Decalogue, there's a line of Ramban here where he says, alluding to Ibn Ezra, he cites something that Ibn Ezra wrote. We won't go into it here. He says, "Hatama ze lo yisboloto ela misha eno ragil b'talmud." An explanation like this could only be tolerated by a person who is unaccustomed to studying Talmud. But if a Talmudist wouldn't offer an interpretation like this, this cutting remark about Ibn Ezra. Okay, so we have a number of different understandings of what it means to remember Shabbat. Another one that I like a lot I'm not sure that it's the pshat, but it's a very nice idea of what it means to remember Shabbat. Rabbi Ovadia Sforno, writing in the beginning of the 16th century in Italy, says, "Remember the Sabbath day, always remember Shabbat while you are doing your work on weekdays. Like, remember what Amalek did to you." So what is he seeing as the similarity between remembering Shabbat and remembering Amalek? Remembering Amalek means bear in mind that there are Amalekites out there in the world. Beware of Amalekites. That's what it means to remember. And that's also what it means to say, remember the Shabbat day, bear it in mind. And when is it important to be bearing Shabbat in mind? Not on Shabbat, but beforehand, when you are at work, as he shall explain, to keep it holy, lekadsho. Do this so that you will be able to keep it holy. The Torah warns people to arrange their affairs in such a way that it will be possible to refrain from thinking about them on Shabbat. Try to organize your life so that when Shabbat comes along, you won't have to be thinking about work. I think this is very good advice. And I think that sometimes I succeed in doing this and not thinking about my work on Shabbat. And sometimes I don't succeed. And I think that it's ideal to try to succeed and to try to organize your work in such a way that when Shabbat comes along, you won't have to be thinking about it. Okay, so that's a different understanding of what it means to remember Shabbat. Rashbam, who, as some of you will recall, is my favorite traditional commentator, has a surprising understanding here of what it means to remember Shabbat. He opens by saying, "Kol zechira ona al yamim she'avru." So, you know, he's dismissing almost all of the history of interpretation of this verse until now. Rashi, in particular, Rashi's grandfather, with whom Rashbam loved to disagree, Rashi had said it means thinking ahead about Shabbat. Sforno just said it means thinking ahead about Shabbat. And even, you know, the implication of Ibn Ezra's comment is that it's thinking ahead about Shabbat. It's important to keep track of what day of the week it is, and that's because another Shabbat is coming up, and so we should be thinking about the future. So Rashbam begins by saying, actually, that's not what remembering generally means. Generally, we remember the past, we don't remember the future, such as these verses, like the verse in Deuteronomy, "Remember the days of old when the Most High gave nations their homes." Also, here, this the proof from this verse is a little complicated. This is as the Jews are leaving Egypt, Moshe says to them, Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. Remember this day that you left Egypt, which Rashbam, I think, quite reasonably says it should be understood as, remember in the future this day on which in the past, in which you in the past shall have gone free from Egypt. Future perfect that we have in English does not exist in Hebrew. And he's arguing that that's how you should understand it. Moshe is saying to them, as they are leaving Egypt, Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzrayim. In the future, you should think back about that day that you shall have left Egypt on that day. So giving this instruction for the future, but it's about remembering the past. Here also, the verse means, remember that Sabbath day that followed the 6 days of creation. And the text then continues and explains how one should remember the Shabbat, as it is written, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And that is why the text says here, remember the Shabbat day in order to keep it holy by refraining from work. So we now have yet another understanding of what it is that we are supposed to remember. We are supposed to remember creation. And Rashbam argues that that is the meaning of the text here, that we should be remembering creation. That's what Zachor et Yom HaShabbat means. It means remember the original Shabbat, the Yom HaShabbat, the original Yom HaShabbat is Rashbam's understanding. I have to admit that when I first read this this comment, I thought that it was creative and perhaps brilliant and probably right. And as the years went on, I came to the conclusion that although I do love Rashbam, I don't agree with every comment that he made. And this one, this does not seem all that likely that that's what the phrase Zachor et Yom HaShabbat means. And Shadal, Samuel David Luzzatto, Italy, in the 19th century, I think explains the weakness of Rashbam's approach, inter alia, aside from all the other things that he's doing here in this comment of his. So Shadal, one of the things that really attracts me to Shadal's commentary on the Torah is like any honest human being, he's changing his mind all the time about the interpretation of text. You know, Rashbam used that beautiful phrase, "Hapshatot hamitchadshim b'chol yom," the newly found pshat day by day. That, you know, when you look at the text, you understood it one way, and then you look at it the next day, and you understand it a different way the next day. So, you know, you write a commentary, and then you change your mind about it. And so he wrote an article in a journal called Bikurei HaItim when he was 28 years old. He published an article about what it means to remember the Sabbath day, and he changed his mind. So he tells us, I'd like to retract what I wrote when I was 28 years old about what it meant to remember Shabbat. This remembering does not mean, as I wrote in Bikurei HaItim, remember what you were previously commanded in the desert of Sin to sanctify the Sabbath day. So there is the story previously in the Torah, before they arrive at Mount Sinai, of the manna falling, and it's not falling 6 days a week, and it's not falling on Shabbat. And Moshe gave them instructions to make Shabbat into a special day, and the sign of the specialness of it was the manna. And so when he was 28 years old, Shadal was attracted to the explanation that at Mount Sinai, Moshe and God are referring back to that Shabbat that I told you about before, and that's the Zachor. The term remembering does not refer, then and here he's he often liked Rashbam's commentary, but he points out correctly here. The term remembering, zechira, does not refer exclusively to the past, but it is found also with reference to future events. As in, he gives a number of examples here. I only gave you one of them in the beginning of Echa, in the beginning of Lamentations, is said about Jerusalem, lo zachra acharita. She was not mindful of her end. She didn't think about, you didn't remember what was going to happen, what could possibly be happening. That was the sin of the Jewish people, according to Echa, not remembering. And this isn't remembering the past. This is thinking about the future. And if you think about it, I think in any language we use the word zachar both for talking about the past and for talking about the future. Remembering various obligations that one might have for the future. Here too, Zachor refers to the future. In other words, place the Shabbat in your heart so that you anticipate it when it is coming in order to sanctify it. Let it not be removed from your heart so that you profane it out of forgetfulness. This isn't too far from Ibn Ezra's understanding of the text. But it should be on your consciousness that's what Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho means. It should be part of your consciousness, and it should be something that you are anticipating that it is coming soon. And Shadal goes on and says, I'm sure Shadal knew what Ibn Ezra wrote, and he also knew Ramban's criticism of what Ibn Ezra wrote, but he, without acknowledging that he's sticking with Ibn Ezra, he really does actually stick with Ibn Ezra. The Kiddush that the sages instituted, okay, just this phrase right away, HaKiddush SheTiknu Razal. Ramban said, no, it's Kiddush. You know, the Gemara says that Kiddush is the Oraita. It says, Nashim Chayavot B'Kiddush Hayom Devar Torah. But this verse, Zachor, Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, is directed to men and to women, and it means to recite Kiddush. And so there's a mitzvah, midoraita, for both for men and women to recite Kiddush. Shadal says, Lobduk. Kiddush was instituted by the rabbis, and it is analogous to all the blessings that are recited in connection with mitzvot. The rabbis tell us to say a blessing before performing most of the mitzvot, or many of the mitzvot that we perform, before sitting in a sukkah, before blowing the shofar, before putting on a tallit. There's a blessing to say. So the same thing when Shabbat begins, there's a blessing. So we don't say Asher Kichadu Mitzvotav Tzivanu Lishmor Ta Shabbat, but we say something. The sages required to be said just before the performance of the mitzvah. Why? And why are all these brachot said before performing a mitzvah? So the mitzvah should not be done by rote. That you're not just, this is on the assumption that the words that you say will not be said by rote, but you can just, end up putting on a tallit and not thinking about the fact that you are performing a mitzvah. There's a chance if you say the bracha, then you'll also be thinking a little bit about performing the mitzvah, performing what God commanded to be done, so that the mitzvah should not be done by rote. Rather, people should place in their hearts the idea that God so commanded, and they should perform the deed with the intention of doing the will of the Creator. And so it certainly makes sense to have a mitzvah of Kiddush, and I'm a big proponent, Shadal says, of the mitzvah of Kiddush, but it falls into the same similar to what we saw even Ezra saying earlier, it falls into the category of brachot instituted by the rabbis in order to concentrate our mind, attempting to get our minds to concentrate on the mitzvah that we are performing. But actually, the mitzvah, the specific mitzvah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat means anticipate when it is coming so that you will be able to make it holy. Let it not be removed from your heart so that you profane it out of forgetfulness. Okay. And I'll take a look now at the chat. Let's see what questions or comments we might have here. Lauren, let's hope. How does Alter translate it? I'm embarrassed to say I don't own Alter's translation of the Torah. I have to acquire it. Does it follow the rest of the week should involve productive work? Yes, there are those people who say that that verse there constitutes a mitzvah, not just about Shabbat. It says, Sheshed yamim ta'avod v'asita kol melachtecha, that you should be doing productive work during the week. This is I didn't want to get into that part of the question, but yes, many people say that. How can the Ramban learn two halachot from the same pasuk? That's probably why Ibn Ezra called the second idea an asmachta. I think that Robert, that's a good question, but I think that Ramban was very happy saying that there could be a verse that teaches us on the pshat level to do one thing and teaches us on the midrashic level to do something in addition to that. I don't think he found that to be problematic. There is, in fact, a line in the Talmud that says that you can have more than one idea coming out of the same verse, but you can't have two verses that are saying the same idea, and on the idea that that there are no unnecessary words in the Torah. So based on that idea, to say that we have the same midrash on two different verses, the Talmud doesn't like that idea, but the Talmud doesn't really have problem with the idea of having two different things that we that we learn from one verse. Okay, I see no further comments here on the chat. Thank you all for coming. Next week we are going to be doing the mitzvah of Lo Tachmod. Stay tuned for that. And it was wonderful seeing you all, and hope to see you next week. Hope you had a good Lag BaOmer, and Yom Yerushalayim is coming up next week. By the time class begins here, it'll be Yom Yerushalayim here in Israel. All the best to you all.